Hey everyone, Lee McIntyre here from getmomentum.com, and I'm very excited today because on the line I've got John Fornell. And for the next 50 minutes or so, we're going to be chatting about John's business and about the internet lifestyle and about the different levels of success John has had over the last few years. John is actually somebody who was one of my first ever mentors online. When I actually first got started online, John was the person whose products I bought and the mentoring programs I took. And I was really fortunate enough to get a lot of help and advice from John back when I first got started. And really, without John's help and advice, I probably wouldn't be here today. So I'm really, really honored to have John on the call. And John, are you there? Welcome aboard.
Hello, Lee. That's quite an intro. Thanks very much.
No problem. So really, I thought I'd just get started by just having a chat with you about, basically what kind of stuff have you done over the last few years? Because I'm very aware of your business, but I guess a lot of the people on the call might not be familiar with who you are and what you've done. And maybe you could just give us a little bit of a background in terms of where you've come from and what kind of stuff you do today.
I actually started trying to make money online around the year 2000. Tried many different programs, get rich quick things, and I'm sure you can relate to when you're first starting out, you'll try anything. And then it was late 2002 I discovered eBay by complete fluke. I was just browsing eBay and came across, I think at the time it was mobile phone accessories, believe it or not, and I tried my luck doing that. That didn't really go very well, and then I discovered people selling software, web templates, etc. on CDs. So I tried my luck at that, didn't have much luck doing that, as everyone was trying to do the same sort of thing. And I think it was towards the end of 2004 I discovered someone selling information products, ebooks, on a collection of CD, on a CD. And I tried my luck at that, and once again didn't have a lot of luck. But what I then did was, basically I was selling all the ebooks on one CD. Everyone else was doing the same. What I did was start to sell each ebook individually. At the time I was selling ebooks for 99 cents and had a lot of success doing things that way. It turned out I was just about the only person doing this. And I was making at the time sometimes $500 a week. Now you have to remember, I was just starting out then, so this was a lot of money for me. And then I learned to automate everything. This was when things really started happening. I was basically selling an information product, and it was getting delivered, and I didn't have to lift a finger. And I basically devised a system almost by complete fluke, you know, by just trial and error, and no one else seemed to be doing what I was doing. So then I decided to teach others how to do the same. And this was the beginning of 2005, and that's when my business really, really took off, because obviously, if you wanted to learn how to sell information products successfully on eBay, I was, at the time, the go-to guy. So that's when things really, really took off. Now, I still do eBay, I still do bits and bobs on eBay, but I've moved a lot into creating information products away from eBay, and most of my information products teach people how to make money from various ways online. More or less what you do as well, Lee, so same sort of thing.
Okay, that's awesome. What I really like about that, John, is the fact that you tried lots of different things and some of it didn't work, and then you kept on trying other stuff and it didn't work. And do you think most people have to go through that kind of experience, would you say?
I think so. Although in these days, if you can find someone like a mentor who can help you, it is a lot easier. At the time, I didn't even know there was such a thing as an internet marketer. I was just struggling trying to find ways to make money. And the beauty of eBay is, as well, you can see people are making money, and that's what got me into it. I could see people were selling, you know, certain types of products, information products. At the time, there was a lot of money being made on betting systems, things like that. And you obviously see people making, you know, selling what is effectively an ebook for $49. It gets you really, really into that, and I think that's a good thing about eBay. You can actually see people are making a living online, and obviously that's when you've got to find out how you're going to do that for yourself. And luckily I found a way to make money on eBay that not a lot of people knew about, so I've done well that way. But yeah, sorry, Lee. You have in the early days, if you've got no one to go to, it can be very, very, very hard, and so many people give up probably just before they're going to do something.
That's totally right. I think I see so many people who like go through the painful learning curve and then just on the cusp of success, and that's when they give up. And when you look around, all the people who've had success have had so many failures before they've actually had that success, which is really interesting.
That's true, yeah.
John, when you were saying there about how when you looked on eBay and you could see some people were making money in that motivator, do you find that's like a really big help? Like maybe like if you hang around with other marketers and you go to a conference or whatever and you see them having success, is that the kind of thing that when you see the results, does that get you out of bed in the morning and make you more motivated?
Well, I think it's got to, hasn't it? I mean, if you, that proves, you know, because I think a lot of people don't think it's possible until they see other people making money. I mean, some of my friends, really, they don't really know what I do. And if I try to explain, you know, they wouldn't think it's possible. So you have to see, I think you have to mix with other people. Obviously, going to an event is probably the perfect way to do this. But if you can see it can be done, that can only motivate you as well. And obviously, if you can find someone who you can go to, you know, like a mentor, you know, someone you can make yourself accountable to, it can only be easier. I mean, back in the early days, if I had someone I could go to, I'm sure my success would have came a lot quicker.
Yeah, I remember when we were playing pool recently as well, and we're having a few beers, and you told me about the launch for multi-profit websites, and you told me how much money that had generated in a short space of time, and I remember thinking, oh my God, that's incredible. And that's one example of, I mean, we've got a successful business here, but then I heard the figures that John was making from one launch, and that really opened my eyes to what was possible with that particular business model, and that really got me motivated and fired up to go and do stuff in my business. So once you start seeing this stuff and seeing it with your own eyes and seeing how people live their lives and seeing the results, that is probably the best motivation you could get, for sure.
Yes, without a doubt, yeah. If you see what other people can do, you know, it can only make you want to, you know, at least try on a level, you know, where you can hopefully do, even if you can do some, if you see someone doing really, really well, if you can do a tenth of what they're doing, usually when you're starting out, that's enough to get you going. You know, and obviously as you create more products or as you become more experienced, obviously over time you're going to become more and more successful. But it's the initial early stages where, you know, where it's very, very crucial. You know, you haven't got to give up. You've got to keep at it.
So what advice would you give to people then who are just getting started? Like maybe someone's on a call now and they've tried a few things and nothing's worked for them. You've obviously had loads of success helping lots and lots of different clients and students build information selling businesses online and making a lot of money. So if there's someone on the call now and they've just not quite hit that success yet, what would be the first steps or the next steps maybe they should take? Would you think?
Well, I think it's find someone you can go to. In the early days as well, you've got to be aware of just buying the next shiny button, the next shiny object. You know, you'll see a lot of people, they'll buy something or promises, you know, to make them money online, and they'll try for a couple of weeks only to see a new launch coming along, what everyone's promoting, and then they'll buy into that, try that for a couple of weeks, find it's not really working, and they get caught into a cycle where they never stop buying products. I mean, I think most people, if they looked at what they've already bought, there's probably something there that'll help them get going. It's just having the patience to maybe try for a little longer. Obviously, when you buy something for someone, you want to do your research about the person you're buying from. You want to make sure the product's going to help you. And if it's a product that's going to help you, why would you go and buy a week later, go and buy something else, and a week later go and buy something else? It just doesn't seem to make sense. I mean, if someone invested, let's say someone invests in you, Lee, why would they want to then go and buy a product or off me? You know, if they found you and they're happy with what you're teaching, it would be silly for them to then come to me, for me to maybe teach them a different method and confuse them even more. So I think for someone starting out, I'd say find someone you trust, find someone who's got a good reputation online, approach them, go to the help desk if you have to. That's a good test to see if you're going to get a response, and see what they've got to offer you, and stick with what they're going to teach you. That's probably the best advice I would give someone who's starting out or who hasn't had a lot of success in the early days.
Yes, so many people like just jump from one thing to the next, and then go around in circles. And like you said, it's just crazy. It's like if you've bought a product, get that information in front of you, and then apply it and profit from it. And then when you've used all of that up, then go and buy something else to help you get to the next level. I mean, me and John both spend a lot of money on education. I mean, I've actually borrowed a course of John recently, which I need to give him back. I'm actually looking at it in my office now feeling guilty that I've not taken it back. But I mean, I spend in my business probably like $50,000 a year on training products because I'm so anxious to learn more. So I wouldn't say there's anything wrong with buying products, but you've got to buy the product, learn from it, apply it, and don't even think about buying anything else until you've made some money from that particular method, I would say, definitely.
Yeah, that's spot on, Lee. I mean, obviously, you know, I still buy products, you still buy products. But I only buy products that I feel are right for me, and I know how easy it is as well to get sidetracked. You know, you can get emails from people saying this is the next thing you need this for your business. But 99 times out of 100, you don't need it. If you've already got something, you're already following a course, or you've always already got someone you can, you know, who's teaching you, you want to, like you say, at least learn what you can from that person before you think about, you know, moving on to someone else. Because if you try to do too much as well, if you try to do too many things, learn from too many people, ultimately you're not going to get anywhere.
Yeah, and I still fall into that trap myself. Now, sometimes I might feel a little bit bored, or I don't know, I can't really be bothered doing any proper work. And I go around and I buy a few courses, and almost with no intention of going through them, just as, I don't know, it's almost like it feels like you're filling a void, or it feels like you're making progress when really you're not. And people on the call need to differentiate between education and action, and taking the action is where you're going to make the most money. Buy the products, then take action on it, for sure.
Definitely, yeah, take action. Yeah, that's the number one thing, yeah.
John, what I'd love to talk to you about as well is like what your typical day looks like now, because I know that you've obviously got your office now in Sunderland, and I've been down there and visited, and it's pretty cool. Had a beer there as well, which was nice. Drove down my crummy old car. you've got your office now, and maybe you could just tell us a little bit about like why you got the office and what your typical day looks like and all that other stuff, really, just so people can build up a picture of, you know, what a successful internet marketer does with the day, really.
Yeah, first of all, the reason I got the office... obviously, when I gave up my regular job and I started to work from home, we did move into a bigger house, and I did have a room at the back of the house which was classed as my office. But I found, now this is obviously other people may find this different, but I found there was far too many distractions at home. For instance, the kitchen was only 20 feet away, and the living room with the TV in was, you know, a 15-second walk away, and I found... some days I wasn't getting any work done at all at home. It's just so easy to get sidetracked. And another thing, I've got a very, very large German Shepherd dog, and when someone knocked on the dog goes absolutely crazy. And that's no good if you're in the middle of recording a Camtasia video, you know. So I needed somewhere where I could go to work, you know, so somewhere where as soon as I walked out the door at home and walked into the office, I was at work. So that's the main reason I decided to get an office. And let me tell you, that's probably one of the best things I've ever done to build my business. I don't know if you can relate to that as well, Lee, the difference between working at home and working in an office.
I totally agree with everything you said there, because for me it was all about, it just created tension at home in a way that didn't need to be there sometimes, because like living with my girlfriend, sometimes I'd be trying to do some work and she'd just be going around about her normal life as you know she would be doing, but that would be disturbing me working, and the house was quite small for that, so it just felt like it was just too difficult, more difficult than it needed to be. So when I got the office and I actually had my own space where I could work and totally separate work life from home life, that for me was a really big plus, and I could just go there and get my work done and then go back home and relax. And I don't know if, John, like when you were running your business in the early days, did you find that it was hard to switch off in the evenings when you were working from home? Did you like find yourself in front of a computer clicking refresh and checking your stats and stuff?
Very, very hardly. And actually, that's probably one of the reasons I actually did get an office, because me and my partner actually had a couple of little tiffs, little arguments where I was probably working too much from home. Because when you're at home as well, you know, I mean, maybe there'd be a launch which would be 7 p.m. UK time, and or you want to check stats at 9 p.m. or you know, it's so hard to bring yourself away from the work environment at home. But what I tend to do now is come to work at the office, and when I go home, that's usually my day's work's done. Fair enough, sometimes I may, you know, check something, or you know, if there's a launch going on, see how sales are going, things like that. But usually now when I go home, that is me done for the day until I go back into the office the next day. So that's another reason why I decided to go for an office as well.
I can really relate to that. People on the call should really appreciate, this is just like an honest chat, just talking about the good stuff and the bad stuff about internet marketing. And like, a lot of calls don't really go into this kind of stuff. But for me personally, I would do the same. I'd end up sitting there, clicking refresh, checking my emails. And all of a sudden, you end up, it's hard to have like a line between what you're doing for work and what you're doing for home. And that can cause tension sometimes. So for me, getting an office was a really good way of making sure that I was more productive and then have more fun at home as well. Just totally separate those things. Otherwise, it just kind of creeps and you just end up doing more work and more work and more work without actually having been productive.
Yeah, I think as well, at home you can tend to waste time as well. You know, you go and watch a video, you go on Facebook or something, and it's so easy to get sidetracked. And when I come into the office, you were asking as well what it's like for a typical day. I'll generally come into the office around between 9:30 and 10 a.m. and I'm very, very rarely here till after 3 p.m. I'm usually away by then, unless I've got something, you know, big going on. But I find in that five hours, I get probably four times as much work done as I would have done at home. You know, I can sit all day at home and just potter about and not get any real work done. But I know when I come into the office, you know, I'm here to work. I mean, What's the point of me sitting in the office pottering about? Because it's just wasting my time. When I know when I come in here, I'm here to work, so I do work. And then I, you know, whenever I'm done for the day, be whatever time it is, I can then go home and forget all about work.
Yeah, there are probably people on the call who their main dream is just to work from home. And I know, because I was the same, and I bet you were the same, John, when you first started. I really used to dream about working from a bedroom and having no commute and stuff. So there's probably people on the call who think we're crazy, because they probably think, well, you've got everything you wanted, you can work from home. What would you say to those people?
It's funny that, because you're right, the exact same. I'm exactly the same as you. You think, I don't want to be able to, I don't want a 9-to-5 job. I want to be able to work when I want, or I don't want to be going into an office. I mean, I'm working in an office. I never thought I'd ever hear myself say that I work in an office. But the thing is, I choose when I come to the office. So if something comes up, let's say, for example, tomorrow something came up and I had to have the day off, I can. And I think that's the most important thing about doing what we do, is we can choose when we work. We can choose when we go on holiday. I mean, when I used to work in the car factory, I was, you know, I was told when I had to eat. I was told what time I had to start, what time I had to finish. I was even told when I could go to the toilet, you know. That's how crazy, you know, it is. But now I can do what I want, when I want. And I think that's the biggest thing about being an internet marketer. It's not about the money and the, it's more about the lifestyle and more about being able to do things when you want to. So that's the best thing about doing what we do.
I totally agree to that. I mean, people think that we work in an office, so that's kind of like going back to the 9-to-5, but I mean, if I want to work a lot of hours, I will. If I want to work no hours, I won't. But it's just complete flexibility. If a friend says, do you want to go and watch the cricket? I'll go and watch the cricket. If I want to go to the football, I'll go to the football. And really, you don't have to answer to anyone apart from yourself. And that, for me, is the big kind of satisfaction from doing this.
Yeah.
I mean, what would you normally do with your day in terms of actually when you're in the office? So say you're there for like 5 hours from like 9 till whatever. What kind of tasks would you focus on like a normal day? Just because I know like a lot of my clients are always really intrigued what we actually do in our offices and how we actually make money and how we build our business. So what kind of tasks would you routinely do on a typical day, would you say?
On a typical day, I would usually, the first thing I do is check emails. I always check emails at the start and the end of the day. So I'll do my emails first, and then at the end of the day, before I shut the door, I'll do them again. So that's for me just a way. So there's not a 24-hour stopgap between the emails. So obviously if you email me in the morning, hopefully you'll get a reply before I go home. But usually a typical day will be usually generating some sort of content. My philosophy is, as long as you do something every single day that's going to build your business, you know you're going in the right direction. Now usually for me it could be a blog post, it could be working on a new product, it could be creating some training videos, or it could be sitting doing a call, like exactly what we are doing right now. But usually there's not a day goes by where I don't do at least one thing what's built my business. And I think that's a good habit to get into, especially when you're starting out. You know, write an article, write a blog post, go to a forum and become active and get some links back to your website. Whatever it takes, do at least one thing every single day, and then your business is always moving in the right direction. But on a typical day, check emails, create some content, or I'm always working on something new, and then check emails again, then go home.
Are there any kind of particular activities that you find like are the most valuable for you, that produce the most money? Because I totally agree about how if you're always moving forward, that's a good thing. But is there any one thing in particular that you feel like if you go in and you get that done, your business will be stronger as a result?
It's got to be working on new products, Lee. I mean, I think you're a big believer in coming out with new content on a regular basis. I'm a firm believer that you should always be working on something new. And also as well, working on affiliate stuff as well. I do a lot of, you know, promotion for other people, affiliate stuff. I'm always working on, you know, ways, looking for products to promote in the future, looking at what's going on. You know, what I tend to do as well every single day, I don't know if I should say this, is visit the Warrior Forum as well. I tend to spend a good 20 minutes a day in there. Now some people might say that's a bit maybe it's wasting time, but I find just going in there once a day and having a look around, I just pick up little things here and there. But mostly it's usually working on something new, and I'm a believer that you should always be working on something towards building a new product as well, because I'm a firm believer that the more products you create and the more products you put out there, you know, the more successful you'll be.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, I've created lots of products this year, and some of them I do very little promotion for now. Some of them I do no promotion for, but you know, every day or every other day or every week, we get sales coming in for those products, and it just seems sometimes that the more the more buttons we have out there and the more sales pages we have out there, the more money we make. And it always astounds me how we make sales for some of these websites we created 6 months ago that we've done no promotion for, but the sales drop in and it all kind of adds up to a tidy amount. So I can definitely agree with that.
Yeah, yeah. I think you hit the nail on the head there, the more buttons out there. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Getting buy buttons in as many places as possible and opt-in forms in as many places as possible. And the more you do that, it goes without saying that eventually, you know, it's going to work.
John, do you still find that you have like random sales come back from like 4 years ago when you were doing like the eBay stuff? And do you ever like get a sale come in and you think, what the heck is this for?
I'll tell you what, it's funny you should say that. The first ebook I ever wrote, which was towards the end of 2004, was called Selling Ebooks on eBay. That was my original title. And inside that ebook is a PayPal button to access one of my websites, a 90daypowerseller.com. That's a $97 product. What I did was I put a PayPal button in and sold it at the time for £19.99. Now, because our PayPal button's inside this executable ebook, I can't do anything to stop those payments coming in. And I still get about 3 or 4 payments a year from that ebook. If you've seen how bad that ebook looks, you wouldn't believe it. So obviously, I still honour, you know, the membership and that. But it just goes to show you that something you've done years ago, especially with viral marketing and, you know, viral ebooks, it really can, you know, drive traffic and generate sales for years and years. I mean, we're going back nearly 6 years ago when I created that ebook, and it's crazy that somewhere someone is looking at that ebook and still, you know, click the buy button and bought what I was offering. And if you've seen how bad, and it was my very, very first attempt, so but yeah, I still see affiliate payments come in from, you know, for ClickBank products I'm promoting via an affiliate link in a resale rights ebook. You know, I see stuff where I think, where's that come from? I haven't got a clue, but obviously I'm not going to complain there because obviously a sale's a sale. But it is strange how sometimes you do something once and then it can make you money, you know, for years and years and years.
That's really interesting. I used to sell a product called Auction Profits Unleashed a few years ago, and inside it we had links to various different services, and one of the links was to eJunkie, which is like a digital delivery platform. And some people must have signed up for that via our link, or must still be signing up or something, because eJunkie just routinely still send us commissions of like $70 a month. And I always look at that and think, that is amazing, considering I've only ever put one link out there, and it was, I don't know, 3 years ago now, and I can't even remember. And I don't even know what my login details is to the affiliate program, but they just send me $70 every month. And $70 might not sound like a lot, but you know, it's $70 that I wouldn't have otherwise. So I'm always astounded that the money comes into our account, and always appreciative as well.
Yeah, of course. I mean, if you duplicate the $70 or by, you know, you get little payments here, little payments there, it sharp adds up as well. It is strange though how you can, you know, do some. I mean, I promoted a website called Push Button Health. You know, way back in 2005, I think I started promoting that, and I still get payments, you know, a few hundred dollars a month to this day. And it's crazy how somehow, you know, obviously if you find the right product and it works, and you know, it's a recurring billing product, you're onto a winner anyway. But it is crazy how the money can come in, you know.
What I want to talk about now, John, is like when you release products, the system you would use for that, because I've watched over the last like 2 years and you've released your mentoring program and then multi-profit websites, and you've got your new product coming out soon as well. Like, when you get the idea for products, could you just like outline the steps involved in terms of going from the idea to telling people about it and to building up some anticipation? What would be like a good overview of that process that you would go through?
Well, let's see. I'll give you an example for multi-profit websites. We actually spent a couple of years creating that product, but which is not something, you know, I'm really proud of, but things kept happening. But when we launched that product, we just followed what's really a standard product launch formula. We had a JV competition, which I believe you were either one or two, if I remember rightly. We had a JV blog where we kept affiliates informed, and I think that's very, very important as well. Obviously, if you're launching a product, you need to keep your affiliates informed. We gave the affiliates as many tools as they could possibly need to promote multi-profit websites, and also we put in some extra bonus items as well to give to affiliates. And what else did we do? We had a week-long launch, we had a week-long pre-launch where we gave away a ton of free content, good content as well. And then we had a week-long launch where we launched the product at $197, I believe. And then after a week, it went up to $297. So that, you know, that got a lot of urgency involved. But I think what we did most of all was we looked after our affiliates. Everything we upsold or anything else we sold, we made sure we rewarded affiliates, and we made it as easy as possible as well for affiliates to promote us. You know, it was just a case of, here's a, like, just say for example, here's an email that you can send out on day three, just put your link in here, copy paste, hit send, things like that. I think if you can make it as easy as possible for people to promote your product, and at the same time make them money what they maybe weren't expecting to make, like sales on the back end or recurring billing sales, it can only be a good thing. And if you can get a few people on board and they have success, obviously when you come to launch your next product, you know they're going to be there for you again. So always, when you come to launch a product, think of ways to make your affiliates as much money as you possibly can, because obviously the more money an affiliate makes, the more they're going to be happy with promoting you, and the more they're going to do it again in the future.
Yeah, I always remember, John, when you did that launch, and then you were doing these mini contests throughout where whoever made the most sales in 24 hours won an iPhone or a Mac or whatever. And I didn't win any of those prizes. I kept missing out. But every time you ran one of those contests in our office, we were like super motivated to try and win the prize. So we were watching a video of you and Dave with this big iMac and saying, whoever makes the most sales gets it. And then we were like, God, we've got to win it. What can we do? And we're putting links on Twitter, and we're sending our emails and putting it on our blog. So from my perspective, I can tell you that strategy definitely works in terms of getting affiliates motivated.
Yeah, I forgot about the mini contests. It's something, obviously, you've got your initial launch day, and you've usually got a lot of traffic on the last day, but in between's when you can struggle. And yeah, I think we gave away an iMac, an iPhone, and something else with three little mini contests. And obviously, if that gets the top affiliates to mail once more, that covers the cost of whatever it is you're giving away anyway. So, you know, having little mini contests in between your launch definitely helps. I mean, it doesn't have to be iMacs and things. It can be something, you know, it doesn't have to be something worth $1,000. It can be something worth $100. I think if people just see they've got a chance to win something, it motivates them to mail again. And I know we had some people mail an extra two or three times that wouldn't have, you know, because of those mini contests.
Excellent. Yeah. And in terms of like motivating customers and getting them excited, I remember like when you were doing that launch, a lot of customers were coming to you and saying, could they buy the product early? And I remember I'm chatting with Dave just before the launch, and Dave was saying, all these customers wanted to buy the product, and what were you going to do? And then you guys obviously said, well, it doesn't come out until it comes out. But I mean, how did you get people so excited to want to buy the product even before you had it for sale? Because that's the holy grail for people, I guess.
I think it was just by the content we released before launch. Obviously, I think if I remember at the time, we created a video what was showing people how multi-profit websites could obviously create the user a website in a few minutes. And then we taught people how to use a product as well. Our philosophy was, if you can create a site in a few minutes, even if it goes on to just make $1 a week, it's a successful website. Because most people we thought would think a website making $1 a week isn't a successful website. But then our philosophy was, well, what if you had 500 of those sites or 1,000 of those sites? So we showed people how multi-profit websites worked, and then we showed them, you know, how quickly it was to set the sites up, and then basically we encouraged them to make as many of these sites as possible. So I think by the time the product was coming to launch, people had already been shown how they could make money with the product. I think that's very, very important when you come to launch a product. If people have already seen how to make money with the product, it goes without saying they're going to want to buy that product, or at least a large percentage are. And when we went live, I can't remember the exact figure, but I know in the first minute, something like $9,000 came in as soon as we put the, and that was absolutely crazy, you know. And every time we were hitting refresh, there was like another $300 or $400, you know, being added. And it wasn't a multi-million dollar launch or anything like that, but just seeing that happen was just unbelievable. But I really think it was down to educating everyone as much as we possibly could about the product, and obviously showing people that it will work, that it can make money. And then when you come to launch, it just sells itself.
I'm sure there's lots of people on the call who are quite excited about the idea of making $9,000 in the first minute of launch. That's insane. That must have been quite an experience. I mean, when you actually did the launch, were you at the office? Were you with Dave, or were you at home? Were you drinking some beer? What was the kind of background like?
You'll not believe this story. I'd already bought tickets to see Michael McIntyre, an English comedian, shares a name with you. And on launch day, because we booked the tickets a year before, on launch day I could not be there. I was actually in Newcastle having a beer, and I was looking on my iPhone. I had this kickback app, and that's when I refreshed and seen the $9,000. But luckily, Dave, obviously, he knows everything technical. He was taking care of things. But It was a bit worrying not being there while this was happening. And then I remember I was sitting watching Michael McIntyre, the comedian, and I was nipping to the toilet and I was getting my phone out and hitting refresh. So, but I would not recommend that. It's not some. Luckily, I had Dave on hand as well, but I would much rather have been there. But luckily, it all went smoothly. Nothing went wrong. But normally, I'm there, you know. And you should be, if possible, whenever you launch a product, you should be there just in case anything goes wrong.
Well, when we did a point-and-click coaching launch in December of this year, I think, John, you finished number one or two in that contest. We were so far behind the curve, it was ridiculous. We had like 2 weeks to get everything ready, and we thought, oh, we'll get it all done in like 2 days. But the time of work just kept on expanding. And by the end, I was literally sleeping in the office for like 2 nights on the trot. And we launched the product, and I don't know about internet lifestyle, but if any of my subscribers would have seen me that day, it probably wouldn't have been a pretty picture. I've slept in the office for 2 days.
It can be stressful when everything comes together, isn't it? There's just one little thing can go wrong, and you know, if it takes half a day to fix, and then you think, well, I'm launching in 20 hours and it's not ready, and that's what I'm doing with my latest launch, Affiliate Promo Formula. I am getting the product 100% complete before I even think of announcing it to affiliates and things like that. And it's because if you try and take too many risks by getting the product, like saying, maybe announcing a date and then it's not ready. You know, you're taking little risks here and there. And obviously, over time, you can learn, you know, you can become experienced. But for this one, I want to have it 100% complete. And then what I will do, you know, I'll announce the launch maybe 6 weeks later, but then I'll spend 6 weeks making the product even better, you know, adding things. And but at least the product will be good enough, you know, to go when it's complete. So I've never really done that before, but it's something I'm going to do. And I think, like I said before we started the call, I'm going to make it a month-long launch as well, probably, because I think there's that many launches going on now. I mean, every day there's two or three products getting launched. I think it's affiliates are finding it harder to promote products. So I'm going to make this launch last a month, so then I can go up to JVs and say, look, if you can spare two or three emails in the month of, let's say, December, I'd appreciate it. Instead of saying, you know, it launches on December the 7th, for example. And it puts too much pressure on people, I think, sometimes. And so I'm going to try that method, because I've seen a few people starting to do that and starting to have like month-long launches. And I've also noticed, I've had a couple of people come up to me saying, if you can mail out in this particular month, I'd appreciate it. And I've found that I have mailed out, whereas sometimes if I'm told the exact date, I've got something else going on, so I've got a conflict. And so, you know, that's what I'm going to try that.
That's really interesting that you would say that. We've never actually done like a really, really big launch, but most of the stuff we've always done has been kind of like soft launches or rolling launches. And we've always just found that if we like just release a product gradually and then approach JV partners one at a time, maybe like over a month period, we just find it much easier to get people to say yes.
Yeah.
But you don't have that kind of like big launch buzz, and it's harder to sell in the same volume. But it's just, you can get everyone to say yes at different stages, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot less competitive, I guess.
There's less pressure on the affiliate, isn't there? There's less pressure on the JV to promote, you know. And if you, you know, if you say, look, if you can do it any time in the next 4 weeks, usually they'll find a slot, and it works out better in the long run. Because obviously, it's great to have a launch and make a lot of money in the first week, but then you think, well, what happens after that week? Usually the sales drop off, and if you can make your, you know, launches last longer as well, it can keep it. The sales going for a longer period as well.
Do you think it's getting harder then to launch products now because everyone is kind of following that product launch formula?
I haven't officially had a big launch since January. So, but I think it is. I think the general feeling out there is it's getting crazy. There's too many launches going on. I mean, you must know, you see it yourself, don't you, Lee? I mean, every day there's just so many products getting promoted. And what I did as well at the start of the year, I was taking on far too many JVs. I owed people, you know, emails, and fair enough, while the products were okay, I was just promoting too much. And that done everyone harm in the long run. I was having a worse response rate from my subscribers, so I wasn't making the person I was promoting as much money as I maybe could have. And it just done, it seemed, I think it was like that for a lot of people. But yeah, I suppose, I think it is getting harder, yeah. I think though, but as long as you're delivering content to your subscribers, as long as you know you've always got your subscribers' interests at heart, which a lot of marketers haven't, you know, you'll be fine. And that's something I've always took pride in. And you yourself as well, you look after your subscribers with great content. You know, I think people like us, without blowing our trumpets for us here, I think people like us will always do okay because we care about, you know, how our subscribers and our customers do, where some marketers who just mail and don't give any content away, the obviously over the longer period it's not going to work because people are just unsubscribe.
it never really makes sense to me, because you can literally make some good free content in like 10 minutes. Like some of the content on their blog is just a flip camera, we click record, I talk for 10 minutes, and then it's done. And it literally takes that little. And I've seen some of the brilliant pieces of stuff you've done on your blog, which again doesn't take a huge amount of time. So, I mean, do you find you get a better response after you give away free content like that? Do you find that boosts your click-through rates and your sales in the future?
Definitely, yeah. It can make sense. It can only be good because, you know, I mean, last week I had an idea for a blog post. I was actually in the office. I had an idea, and I had to write the post before I could go home. Now, it took me about 15, 20 minutes to write the post and send the mail out. And it was just a quick idea I had, and the response I got was amazing, you know. So it goes without saying, if you create good content for your subscribers, they're going to be more responsive to opening your emails than obviously clicking the links inside the emails and then obviously buying the recommendations that you make. But it also comes down to, you know, don't promote, you know, rubbish products. There's a lot of rubbish products being out there lately, and a lot of people are promoting them, you know, names what you might not... obviously can't mention names, but you see some names, you think, why are you promoting that? Have you actually looked at the product you're promoting? You know, I mean, there's been some products getting promoted lately where the product hasn't even been complete. I mean, you only have to go in the review section of the Warrior Forum, and you'll see these sort of products, and, you know, there's some big names promoting them, and what harm are you doing to your business long term by promoting this sort of stuff?
Yeah, some of the stuff recently has been insane, like some of the ClickBank launches, especially, and some of the traffic-related ClickBank launches, and they all follow the same form. They're all $37, the same kind of sales. Like, I don't know if it's the same copywriter or not, but and I just look at them and I just think they look like garbage, and I'm not afraid to say that I just wouldn't buy them, wouldn't promote them. And I just, you look at some people, like you said, promoting them, and it boggles my mind, it really does. Cool. What I want to do now, John, is if somebody released a product and they were looking to get someone like you to promote it, what kind of steps would you give them? What kind of advice would you say if they wanted to try and get someone to promote their new product? Let's say they're just starting out and they've not really had a lot of success. Is there any kind of tips you could give them?
Well, that's a good question, isn't it? The first thing is, don't email me if... How can I put this? Don't send me an email like you sent 100 other people. Does that make sense? You know, if some people email me and don't even get my name right, or, you know, things like that, at least you should know. If you're coming to me and you want me to help you and possibly promote your product, I would appreciate it if you at least done a little bit of research to find out who I am, because so many people don't. And I'm sure you've seen the copy paste type JV emails where you know the person's probably sent that to 100 or so people. Now, obviously, I don't understand why they may do that, especially if they're inexperienced, but I find what gets my attention is if someone who will approach me and maybe say, "Hi John, I love the product, blah blah blah," you know, 90-day power seller, for example. I remember your early days on eBay, something like that. Now, that was straight away I would think, right, this person knows a little bit, so then I carry on reading. And then I think if, as long as I had a good product to offer, what benefited my subscribers, I'd definitely check it out. And another thing you should do as well is make sure you give everything away to the person you want to promote in the email. I have some people who will email me, I'm sure you have the same, where they'll say, hi Lee, I'm releasing a product next week, it's called blah blah blah, do you think you can promote it? You'll make a lot of money, I'm sure you get those emails. if you want to check it out, let us know. I mean, why don't you just put everything in the email, you know, as much information as possible about the product, the download page, what affiliate material you may have, etc, etc. My advice is make sure you know the person you're going to email. If it only takes 5 minutes to go to Google, do a little bit of research, find out what products have got out there, and make sure then you tell them as much as you can about your product and give them everything they need, you know, access to the product, affiliate materials, etc, etc.
No, I totally agree with that. And I mean, John probably gets more than I do, but we in our business, we get a lot of JV requests, and I'm sure John gets even more. And you want to try and help people out, but then you can't help everyone, so you've really got to go over and above. And I guess what John is saying is just so spot on. If you actually find out a little bit about John or myself, it almost feel like you've got to get back in touch with that person sometimes if they've taken the extra lengths. John, do you ever get sent like parcels or letters or anything?
Yeah. get sent products and things like that. Something I can add to that, Lee, which I've just came into my head. What I teach my masterclass students to do as well, obviously, I have them create a blog and then create a product. What I have them do, I have them go to ClickBank and find the related products in their niche. You know, so let's just say, for example, you're in the dog training niche. I would have them go to ClickBank, find dog training products, then approach the people who have created these products, and say, "Hi, Bob, I like your dog training product. I've got a dog training blog. Would it be possible to get a review copy of your product because I want to promote it on my blog? Now, those words there, I want to promote it, would get the other person's attention. So then I say to my students, if you get a response, you've broken the ice. So obviously this person would mail back and say, yes, here's the product, check it out here, here's the affiliate material. Then I'd tell them to go and write a review about the product they want to promote, and then reply back saying, thanks, you know, I've wrote a review, here it is on my blog, etc., etc. By the way, here's my product. Do you know what I mean? So you've already broken the ice. You've already started some communication via email. Then that person at least should have a look at what you've got to offer. Now, you don't need a big list to do this. As long as all you need is a blog online to write, you know, a good-looking blog, write a review of the product you want to promote, and then, you know, get some communication going backwards and forwards. Now, it doesn't work all the time, but it does work some of the time.
That's a really good strategy. And just to add to that as well, one thing that I really like is a nice strategy is sometimes if you go to the other marketer's blog and leave really nice comments and compliment them and just hang around their blog a lot. I'm sure, John, on your blog, you probably recognise the same people who come back all the time. And then I guess if they had a JV request for you and they did it the right way, you'd recognise the name and be more likely to open the email. Would you say so?
Definitely, yeah, definitely.
Cool. Okay, cool. Just want to change direction a little bit. And because you've been doing this for like 2 or 3 years, I'm just curious in terms of how you get yourself motivated. Do you find it as easy to motivate yourself now as you did maybe 2 years ago or 3 years ago? Or do you find it easier or more difficult to get up in the morning and do this stuff? Do you feel just as passionate today as you did in the past, would you say?
Yes, I do. Especially since I've moved into this new office, Sam. I'm in a lovely office now, and I do actually look forward to going to work, which is something I never thought I'd hear myself say. every day is different. You know, I mean, usually I have some sort of plan laid out, but every single day is different, and I just love doing what I'm doing. I mean, if the job I used to have, working on a production line in a car plant doing the same thing every 90 seconds, I couldn't be further away from that right now. So yeah, I do still have the passion. I do still love creating new products. I love helping people as well. You know, there's nothing better than getting an email from someone saying, you know, I tried what you said and it's working, or I'm starting to get subscribers, or I made my first sale. You know, there's nothing better than, you know, I helped that person do that. So it's a really, really good feeling. So yeah, I still do. I love what I do.
Yeah, and I still get so excited sometimes that I find it really hard to sleep. And I never used to get that excited when I was a teacher. Recently, my girlfriend's been going crazy because since I got back from Vancouver, I've just had so many ideas that I've literally been lying awake at night with my eyes wide open, like totally no way of sleeping. I'd jump out of bed, run into the front room, write down loads of ideas, stay there till like 3 o'clock in the morning. And my friends think I'm crazy, but sometimes when you get the ideas, you've just got to kind of run with it. Do you ever go through those kind of spells where you just feel dead inspired and dead enthusiastic and you just want to take loads of action?
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, obviously, this new product I'm creating, I keep having ideas. What I've done, I've got an iPad and I've got some mind mapping software, which I've just started to play with, and I couldn't put it down. I just kept picking, you know, I had another idea, I'll have to add this idea. And I've been taking the iPad to bed, whereas this is, sounds crazy, you know, just in case I have an idea in the middle of the night and I can just quickly write it down, you know, and it's crazy. Yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, we are in one of those businesses where just one little idea can make you a lot of money. So if you have an idea, you've got to get it wrote down, and you've got, you know, sometimes it can happen at, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning. So yeah.
I can relate to that. My girlfriend says there's three of us in our relationship, her, me, and the iPad. Yeah, so yeah. I can relate to that. In terms of like being productive and stuff, do you have any tips on how to get the most focus from your day and the most stuff done? Because one of the things I'm really concentrating on this series is helping people like live the internet lifestyle. And how do you avoid making sure that your work doesn't take up all of your day? And how do you avoid kind of having that separation? Or does that not matter?
I tend to try, what I try, I mean, I am not the most organized person in the world, believe me. But what I try to do is plan the week ahead. So I may say to myself, next week I want to have the videos done for my new product, something like that. You know, now, if I can get them done by Wednesday, I reward myself by taking Thursday off or something like that. But I tend to, every day I'm walking into the office, I know what I'm going to do. Does that make sense? So I'm not the most organized person. Now, if I was trying to advise someone, I'd say plan each day the night before, you know, so say to yourself, right, tomorrow I'm going to write 3 articles and put them on the article diaries, or tomorrow I'm going to write a blog post, or at least plan the week ahead, you know, but I don't always practice what I preach. So But I always know what lies ahead. So, you know, I know for the next 2 or 3 weeks I'm working on a new product. So, you know, every day I come in, as long as I do something towards creating this product, I'm happy.
It's funny you should say that, because I always tell people to plan the day ahead, and it's something that when I do it, I always get better results, but it's something that I never actually follow my own advice on all the time.
It's easy to tell people to do something, but it's, you know, when you've got to do it yourself, even though you know it's the right thing to do as well. Yeah. I mean, I did used to write down what I wanted to do for the next week, and it does work. I mean, if you go to my blog, planetsmsblog.com, and look at when I first launched it, I think it was October 2007. For that month, I lay out every single day. So I tell you what I do on the 1st of October, the 2nd of October, the 3rd of October. And that, basically, I follow that same format to this day. You know, my philosophy, which I said before, do something every single day to build your business. So there might be some interesting reading there for someone if they want to go and check it and go right back to October 2007. And you'll see how I talk about planning the next day. Because I actually tell you, like, I see on the 6th of October, I tell you what I'm going to be doing on the 7th, for example. And actually, when I was doing that month-long series of blog posts, it actually motivated me to actually take action, and the amount of work I got done that week was unbelievable. So that's another thing you can do as well. You know, if you know you've got deadlines, or you know you've got to do some work, tell someone else, even if it's just making a post in a forum or something like that, you know, or write a blog post saying, this time next week I'll have something, you know, ready. And that can also motivate you as well.
Oh, that's a good one. I mean, I do that all the time, where I'll tell my JV partners about a launch when the product's not even ready yet. That really gets you motivated. I've had a lot of sleepless nights, John, where you've been promoting my product the next day and been finishing off my product at 7 o'clock in the morning. And if I hadn't have told you about it, it would have taken me about another 5 weeks probably.
Exactly, I know exactly what you mean.
Cool. Okay, cool. I mean, just going back a step for the people on the call as well, John's blog is planetsmsblog.com. Go there, check it out. Really cool stuff. So definitely recommend you go and have a read of that. That's right, isn't it, John? Planet SMS.
That's right.
Cool. I mean, I guess that's pretty much everything I wanted to go through today, because, I mean, basically when I first got started, John helped me out so much. John took the time to answer my emails and give me advice, and his products were super useful as well. And fortunate enough now to have a beer with John from time to time, and really has made a big difference in my business. So I definitely recommend you go check out his blog and learn all you can from John. And John, is there anything you want to say before we wrap this up?
No, Lee. I think the only thing I would like to add is what I started with. If people are struggling to get going, find someone. And obviously, if they're listening to this call, they've obviously, you know, they've probably found you. So, you know, they're going to be fine. They're going to be absolutely fine. Just, it's all about, you know, taking action, following instructions and taking action and not giving up, you know. Don't give up. The fact you're listening and you've listened to this call just proves that, you've probably got what it takes to be successful anyway. So I'll leave you with that, if that's okay.
Thank you very much, John. And I hope everyone on the call appreciates just the real candid honesty on this chat today. It's nothing held back. And I didn't send John any prepared questions or anything. We've literally just picked up the headset, clicked record, and just had a chat about marketing and life and business and the ups and the downs and the good stuff and the bad stuff. So probably not the kind of content you're going to get anywhere else, but I hope you appreciate it. John, thank you so much for joining us. Really, really happy you did so. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. And I'll speak to you very soon. Thanks, John.
Thanks, Lee. Thanks.